What's up, family? Welcome to another episode of Fresh Feral Entertainment. We're your host. I'm Horace the Feral.
It's the kid, Donnie Ascendi.
Rasa Su, Rod the Guy, come after another banger for the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As you see Don, remember his name this time. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Appreciate all the support. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you follow the page on IG. Fresh Fire Entertainment, y'all been going crazy this season. All the episodes been doing really good. You know what I'm saying? Push us to 7,000 plays. You know what I'm saying? That'd be crazy. Yeah, you know, y'all just been running it up. So we just appreciate the support. You read the title. We're going to jump right into it as we always do. So, yeah. This episode is called Nagas, Niggas, however you want to pronounce it. You know what I'm saying?
bro, hold on. Please let's not call it that because it's going to cost too much, bro.
I mean, you can say Nagas, Niggas. Like, it's, I don't know. It's sometimes how some people pronounce it, it sounds just it's Niggas.
Bro. So, there's two A's in this. It can't be Niggas, bro. There's no way.
Right. I promise you, I heard some people go like, Nagas, Nagas.
All right, bro.
So, we'll just say Nagas for short. I mean, that's what the word is. But we're going to kind of go into, like, the history of Nagas, the what the meaning of Nagas was, and kind of some quantum stuff I found in relation to Nagas that kind of led me in, like, a whole other loophole, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, say what?
Oh. No, nothing.
I'll say something first.
Okay.
I remember the term from freaking Avatar The Last Airbender, bro. Like that was the water serpent they brought out the water to save the village from Kyoshi Island.
You
remember that?
Yeah, you're right. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. Oh, I'm glad you said that because the whole thing about Nagas relates around the whole ideology of like the serpent, and basically like there's so many stories and texts, and I'm gonna kind of go into what them stories and texts kind of was to symbolize. So you got, really Nagas. And dragon and serpent, all those are the same word, same phrase. They actually meant the same thing. So, like in Hindu culture, or just you know, ancient Indian times, basically the Nagas were seen like they were seen as like this member of a class of mythical semi-divine beings. So they were like half human, half serpent, right? And so that was in the mythological text, right? So we know through those mythological texts, it's all allegory, right? So you look through that allegory and see what it represents, because you would see, look at how the serpent is depicted in like Kemet. You know, it basically stood for your enlightenment, your level of consciousness. That's why you would see pharaohs with the headpiece and they would have the cobra on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how you would. So, you know, you had regular pharaohs or just priests, which just had the helmet, but you had some that had the cobra. So this was a way of like distinction. Like, okay, yes, these are all my priests, but these two with the cobra helmets, the cobra headpieces, they had a different level. You see what I'm saying? That's the mm-hmm. whole point of the serpent. The serpent means knowledge, right?
And then the serpent, like the sun disc, was often found with a serpent wrapped around it.
Especially yeah.
when you get images of rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say, especially with images of Ra, it would be the sundial and the sun disc, right? With the serpent ran around, right? And think about the whole purpose. It's like, it's funny, like how the serpent has a double meaning as everything is represented in duality. You know what I'm saying? So you have Apophis, right? Apep, right? The serpent who represented chaos, right? So how come you have the serpent meaning not just knowledge, enlightenment, and consciousness, but chaos? Because they are simultaneous. You can't have them without it. They work together. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that causes you, that can bring you such knowledge, can also bring you such chaos. You know what I'm saying?
Adding on to that, what was it? Was it Egypt where like snakes are also a symbol of health?
Yeah, health.
Yeah, they're a symbol for health. Also, like just known snakes are also highly dangerous at the same time too. So,
right, and so you know, even look at the what medical organization? But you know what I'm talking about? It's like the little staff with the cobra around it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I forget what it's called.
But because it's two different staffs, the staff of Caduceus, but it's the other one. It starts with an H. It's like, matter of fact,
my dumb ass about to say Hephaestus.
Oh, it's like Hippo. Oh my god, bro!
Hippolyta? No.
Asclepius?
Asclepius, yeah, it is. It's staff of Asclepius.
The sleepiest. That's what
I said. That I know exactly what you're talking about, though, right? This is that's like a Smite reference, you know?
Yeah, because now the Rod of Caduceus, it got two snakes going up of it, but Asclepius only got the one snake.
Right. Yeah.
And so speaking of like, so Naga to some extent is also synonymous with the word dragon. And so it's funny because whenever you're talking about like the dragon, it's always this talk about whether they was real or not, despite like people saying, oh, we seen dragons or we didn't. But you got all this ancient text and almost every society of ancient times talked about a dragon. The Mesopotamians talked about dragons. So Gilgamesh was talking about Tiamat, right? Then Tiamat and her brother, you got, in South America, the Incas, the Olmecs, the Mayans was talking about Kukulcan, Quetzalcoatl, right? Then you got same thing in China, right? Aokuang. You can even say Susanoo was also considered a dragon at some points. And you see the same thing in Kemet, too. And so it turns out the etymology of the word dragon in like a historical context means clear sight or eye, right? So I don't think it was it wasn't, and so you see the same thing in Hindu texts. So I don't think it was the actual premise of them seeing a dragon. It was to represent someone, right? So then let's look about when the dragon, because in most cultures, the dragon was never seen as an evil figure. You know what I'm saying?
Dragon so is completely benevolent, unless usually you don't see dragons become evil until you get into the Western culture.
Right? Okay. See, so you're leading me there. Perfect segue. So I was gonna say, the first times you really start seeing the dragon be evil is during the dark times. I mean, no, the dark ages, right?
Medieval ages.
Right? Yeah. The Crusades and shit. And why they call it the dark age, right? So I'm about to tie it all together. The Nagas is synonymous with the dragon. And so we know the Nagas were, let's just say, these serpent-like people. And we know through the etymology and reading, looking past the allegory, it was this higher state of consciousness. The Dark Ages is when the people in Europe was when they were always saying stuff like dragons was attacking them and shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's when you first started seeing it come from them. What happened during the Dark Ages? The Moors came and took over, right? That's why they called it the Dark Ages. The Moors came and racked their ass up. You know what I'm saying? So, right? So this is the first time you start seeing the dragons depicted as evil, right? And so those Moors were those dragons they were referring to, right? And they was also specifically talking about their the technology they had. And I think it's a book called Ancient and Modern Britons. It's a few, I think it's like a 3-book series, but in the book it talks about why they called them dragons was because the technology they had. Yeah, I think in ancient times the Moorish people was Wakanda, you know what I'm saying, to every place they went to, you know what I'm saying? The melanin individual was Black Panther. So you came with a cannonball, them motherfuckers don't know what that is. It's a dragon, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to understand that they called it the Dark Ages because the Moors came over, right? Because dark motherfuckers came and, you know what I'm saying, took over, pillaged, took their women, took their gold, took all their junk, right? And took over, right? And the Moors pretty much ruled over most of Egypt, I mean, Europe. Until I want to say like 1415 when they left, and that's when Spain started going crazy with Christopher Columbus and all that shit, when the Moors pretty much gave it back up to them. But that's where you get your story of the benevolent dragons, the fire-breathing dragons, right? So they're talking about the Moors, right, who were these clear-sighted individuals with a higher level of consciousness. But you can remember, the Dark Ages is when, after the Dark Ages cleared up, the Moors were in power for a bit. And if there wasn't a Moor, it was a white person that had more lineage, because the only way you could be in the royal seat in any capacity is that you was related to a Moor. And to be related to a Moor, you only had to have 1/16.
I'm about to say, was it 1/16?
Like, yeah, 1/16.
Great grandfather.
Right. And so that's why they're trying to eliminate that Moorish DNA out there, their system. You know what I'm saying? Because to get rid of it, but they don't want to tell you that most of them people, some of those kings and queens were actually melanated individuals, some real Nagas, you know what I'm saying?
Real Nagas.
Right? I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm not going to acknowledge that Joe Cunn. I refuse.
Right. So that's where you get that evil synonymous feeling with dragons, but dragons were always inserting the serpent in all cultures until you get to like Christian ideologies was never a bad figure. You see what I'm saying? It meant the clear-sighted individual. Every culture used the snake as a reference of enlightenment, like, knowledge, right?
Endless cycle. Snakes would always be used for that. They often use it as a symbol for medicine. Just right. Any healing properties that venom has when it's repurposed. It also seen as this a symbol of like the infinity or life itself, like that image of a snake in its own tail.
Yep. Ouroboros. Shit, even the Norse had it. Jormungandr, right? The world serpent. It always goes back
Apophis, to the like world serpent.
Yeah. I say what?
Apophis too.
Yeah, I'm saying the same things, same place. There's only one people who really changed the message. You know what I'm saying? Them motherfuckers got too traumatized over what the Moors did. And it's funny because, look, another way they were depicted, the Nagas were seen as like the half-human, half-snake. So, okay, boom, immediately. That's your story of Medusa, right? Because they told you the reason why her hair was snakes was because she had locks, right? Or just the long flowing hair, right? Mm-hmm. So everything ties back to that, right? When we're talking about Nagas and just that that image of the snake itself. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny enough because, like I said, to me, a lot of this stuff was always, I always seen this stuff, whether through games or like comic books and stuff. And I think I got a cool fact I kind of just want to put into there because I always emphasize how useful the information is, my fault, I had something come up, but, how useful the information is because through the comic books, it's because I think Jack Kirby, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, I researched Jack Kirby with an actual historian, right?
Wait, Jack Kirby himself was a historian?
Yeah, he was actually a historian who had lots of lectures specifically around the ancient history.
Okay.
Right, so he was always doing these lectures about ancient mythological stuff, ancient cultures like Asia. I mean, pretty much all over. He was an actual historian. And so when he came to comics, he used all of that knowledge when creating and crafting these stories, right? Which is why they have this certain amount of realism. Or at the time, this is why it was seen so world shocking to like the Western culture, right? Mm-hmm. You were thinking they was just random stories he came up with the top of his head. Nah, these were all based off ancient texts, right? Look at the Eternals. One of the characters' names is Gilgamesh. He used the strongest Eternal, right?
Facts.
Right, also known as the Forgotten One because of the actual crimes and stuff Gilgamesh does in his stories. You know what I'm saying?
But we've been saying this for the longest time about how them old comic book creators, like, they wasn't just coming up with stuff off the top of their head. Like, they had to have like some foundational knowledge in the esoteric and mythological stuff to have a basis for the characters that they was created. Like, mm-hmm. Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, like all of them is just super, super deep into like that metaphysical stuff. It's just like, yeah, I'm gonna make this character out of this. And it's like, it's a comic book, so can't nobody tell you that shit don't sound real. And, right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nah, that's too fancy.
It's funny because when you look specifically at Jack Kirby's, while Stan Lee probably had the more mainstream characters, Jack Kirby's characters were the ones I think that always would like take the comic book world by storm too. He'd be like, yo, what the world? Who thinks of this? You know what I'm saying? Like the whole concept of the Eternals, the whole concept of Captain Marvel, and like some of those old vintage characters from the 60s and 50s, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How they come through and how they were being used. Right?
Right.
And so, like I said, taking back that, just kind of going to like kind of going back to that topic of Nagas, there's really no different than any of the content we pretty much put on this show. It always goes back to that level of consciousness. To be considered a Naga, man, you had a certain level of consciousness. Right?
I mean, that's how I was. I feel like that same symbolism is apparent in every culture. At the end of the day, it really is just an allegory for someone who has reached a certain stage in their consciousness.
Right. And, you know, I think the goal with being a Naga, right? I'm sorry, that joke is too
funny. Man, keep on doing it.
Yeah, you got to invent a Naga. But it's to be a quantum field Naga, right? to get to that another level. So I'm kind of going to go a little deep because my research took me beyond kind of just regular concepts of just Nagas. And it's funny because, funny enough, when I finished watching, I was watching Ms. Marvel, at least at the time of this episode being recorded, I finished watching Ms. Marvel today, right? And it's funny because the show kind of chose those same elements of Nagas within the whole thing, talking about the quantum fields and stuff and traveling dimensions and stuff. And it's just so crazy how today, the episode we do that is today I watched that show. We're not even trying to look for anything of that nature, right? And so it kind of shows that, because think about in the show Captain Marvel, her picture, her power at least is almost displayed as her turning light to matter. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is the whole purpose of being in that elevated state of consciousness. Because being on that human level is just you turning matter to matter. You know what I'm saying? You using your surroundings to make stuff versus you just using light. And by using light, the difference is infinite. You know what I'm saying? Literally, it's infinity. Because you're just taking anything and everything that can be of use to you and creating your reality through that. You're no longer limited by human thought, right?
Yeah, that's crazy because you can really use that in so many different applications. Like, who's to say just an idea or a thought isn't light? Like, you could really make that apply itself in everyday, like, just everyday real-world life, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, instead of just using your hand to physically create something, what are you creating with that which you can't touch or that which you can only interact with, you know, with your soul or with that higher state of thinking, like, if that makes sense.
Nah, because I use it at this point in my journey, I use it every day. That's why everything been going, be honest, not to brag, but shit just been going great lately. Like, I do it for the most mundane of things now. I go to a comic book store. I can't find that comic. Next time I go to that comic book store, I'm like, I bet you I'm going to find it. And then I find it, and I'm like, I bet you I'm going to find it cheap, too. And I find it for $10. You know what I'm saying? Some vintage shit from the 60s, 70s. Boom, collected a series. I can sell it for at least a band now, right? Just because I told myself it's going to be there when I get there. You know what I'm saying? Or just because I mentioned it yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Actually, shout out to Varon, because he really helped me tap back into my magic one day. He said some real profane, some profound shit. He was like, and he's like, nah, brother, magic ain't looking for it. You know what I'm saying? And since that day, I've been finding everything, just thinking like, oh yeah, you're right, I'm gonna find that junk tomorrow. I don't even feel like looking for it today. You know what I'm saying? Next time I go there, boom, immediately. You know what I'm saying?
It's in the journey.
Right? It's all in the journey, right? Just the path. And the same thing works with information and knowledge. You looking for it in the sense like, when you're seeking the knowledge, you're gonna find it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come to you when you're seeking it out. Right?
Same with everything.
And it kind of goes back to that dark matter think tank. You know what I'm saying? Because just, we know that at this point, art imitates reality. So like the space we in, we're like in this space between things. So you have the past and the future. But the present really is that space between time. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it, you have the past and the future. These are the extremes. So that means the present is the moment where you can create. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it on a quantum level, the present is that space in between time then. You know what I'm saying? If the future hasn't happened and the past has already happened, where you are now is where you create everything. Is where you then create the future, right? This is the whole concept of what Kang is. You know what I'm saying? This is what he talks about, time being so fragile. Because when you look at it, he could lose and be like, ah, his thing ain't no problem. You know what I'm saying? Because to him, I can go back 10 seconds. Fuck that shit up.
Or now, I can watching latest Ant-Man and hearing some of the lines Kang was saying, like, it's real shit, though. Time is really so much more simple than we make it out to be. And it's only because of this plane that we're forced to interact with that has such constraints due to time that we think of time as, you know, just this end-all, be-all. But it's like having a being here who has the ability to just manipulate time as you please. Like, time really ain't shit for real.
Right? It's simply just a conduit. You know what I'm saying? But it's a conduit that has power because This is when you understand time travel. Time travel isn't just actually going here from going there. Time travel is actually being able to rewind your thoughts and pull emotions from a certain time, right? That's why nostalgia is so strong, because it's time control. It's pulling some shit from when 2010 that you have strong ties and memories to. So if it's pulling out happy emotions, boom, now you're happy in the present from a thought in the past. You see what I'm saying? If you see that makes you sad, it happened 10 years ago or some trauma, boom, 15 years of trauma is now with you again in the present, right?
And not only were those thoughts, or are you bringing those thoughts back to the past, you're also putting yourself in the same mindset,
right?
Emotional state as a past self of yours as well,
right?
Because that low key, like, technically is time traveling, just without the physical aspect of being wherever you were when you first felt those feelings, right? But it's like with everything else being the same, you know, technically you're putting yourself back into that old state,
right? And that's why niggas be getting sick for real, you know what I'm saying? Right? Check this out. This is a sidebar, but this is a story I read today during this research about Nagas and quantum field niggas. I found this whole story about, like, this scientist. It was African-American guy, early 1900s. His name was Dr. Lynch. I don't think related to Willie Lynch, nothing like that, but his last name was Lynch. And he was working at some company, and I guess, like, his receptionist or whatever, the lady that was working for him, she was always sad. So, like, he had dinner with the family, and the whole family was sad and depressed about some shit, you know, just life. All of a sudden, these people became just got sick one day. He conducted a study to figure out how they all got sick out of nowhere and developed shit like cancer at the same time. Mm-hmm. And noticed that his theory was essentially that you being sad or your emotions that you bring into physically affects your body, as we know, like with stress and stuff, but physically alters your genetic code and create mutations in your genome. The feelings you're enhancing and bring it through, right? I promise you, it's called the Lynch gene, and so you can look it up. I promise you, you look up Lynch gene, it's like LYNCH Lynch gene, and it's about a gene found that specifically in Black people that relates just to cancer. Just to cancer.
Hold on,
that you are that is formed because of the people that your mindset causes, right? So it's beyond stuff like diet and stress. It's just your mindset, right? That's like, again, that PTSD, post-traumatic slave syndrome, that same feeling, that sadness, whatever feeling is holding you down can alter your genome, right?
Mm-hmm. Bro, this junk actually says this is a syndrome. This is a condition that increases the risk of many kinds of cancer and is a condition passed from parents to children. And you're right, because it only talks about this in terms of families and not individuals.
Right.
It says that, like, families that have Lynch syndrome have more instances of cancer than expected. Like, that's crazy.
And so it goes beyond just, what we eating. Now it's a mindset thing, right? Because if the mindset starts in your great-grandparents and it's trickling down to your grandparents and your parents into you, now y'all whole family level of consciousness is at a lower state that only brings out low vibrations that's affecting your genome at a rate that, boom, y'all niggas got cancer. It runs in the family. No, how you think it runs in the family. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a good point, because oftentimes you will see the same thought pattern be transferred from parent to child, and a lot of times unknowingly, it's just a child watches how a parent responds to certain stressful situations growing up and unconsciously adopts those same mannerisms. So by the time they become an adult, you know what I'm saying? You ever felt yourself like complaining about something? You'd be like, damn, I sound just like one of my parents.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so really, to tap into being a Naga or just elevate the state of consciousness, I think you have to look at things at a quantum level and only a quantum level. And here's why. Because quantum mechanics truly, I think, is no, we said quantum mechanics is no different than African spirituality. just take that concept and look at it like that, and you have a higher understanding of everything. Think about like Newtonian physics, right? Newtonian laws really only apply to material shit, right? Apple fell on my head. Boom, Newtonian physics. He talked. Let's, if we're gonna keep it above 50, no matter how complicated the homework we do is, the concepts of Newtonian physics are basic as it gets. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Gravity. Mass equals mass times acceleration equals force, or whatever, you know, for whatever shit is. You know what I'm saying? F equals ma. All those formulas and shit, right? So the funny, it's funny because when you think about it, you gotta also remember that when Isaac Newton found out about the subatomic world, it blew his mind, right? That was something unfathomable to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which shows you just the concept of stuff, something being small, a world being, and see, this is kind of where that whole, shockingly, the little Ant-Man shit come into handy, the whole world under a world that operates under whole different laws is on a whole different playing field, right?
Right.
That higher state of consciousness down there, right? So the physics of it only makes sense when you unravel it, right? Think about all the concepts in space. They tell you, when they're explaining shit that happens in space, they tell you that, like, they'll even be in the interview, the documentary, yeah, this couldn't happen based on physics, but it happens in quantum mechanics. You know what I'm saying? As they're witnessing it on the goddamn microscope, saying this is impossible. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Man, it really make you think, man, how many worlds could be layered
and
top of one another, and the only thing separating us from being able to witness these worlds is just off of the energy that we put out mentally.
And given the concept of as above, so below, you know, again, if the cells and atoms operate in the space, the universe operates in that space, us on this planet operate in that space too. So there's this space in the subatomic world between quarks. I'm about to sound like a fucking geek. It's this place called the gluon space, right? Mm. So when you go beneath, under, you know, the things that's smaller than protons and neutrons, you have quarks and gluons, right?
Yeah. Which is
the building blocks of protons and neutrons. You have this gluon space, that this invisible force, and it's 99.9% of just empty space that holds it all together. Think about that. Boom, take that to actual outer space. What is that? Dark matter. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's 99.9% of the universe. It's dark matter. That's the gluon space. That same energy is here on this planet too. That's what you could call your astral world, right? You know what I'm saying? The energy field that you tap into. You know what I'm saying?
That what you know is there but cannot interact with.
All right. And so bringing that back to Nagas, I found there's this ancient text. I cannot pronounce it. I'm going to try to, but I'm going to butcher it, right? So it's basically like the iconography of the Nagas. It's ancient Indian text called the Prajna Pamacharna, something like that, right? But it pretty much emphasized the nature of reality. And so it's funny enough, because this is about to tie into some other episodes we did this season, but like basically the text has legend to it, of course. And the legend was that this text contained secrets of nature and the cosmos and reality itself. And it's said to be echoed in similar texts across the world, specifically the Egyptian Book of Thoth, written by Thoth, which, okay, coincides with the fact that we said Thoth would use the Hall of Amenti to get to his other places and tell you the same thing to other people, right?
And remember, we also talked a lot about the Halls of Amenti and resurrection and reincarnation, which is also another topic that's hit on a lot. We mentioned these snakes and serpents,
right? So think about that, right? Again, the same message is shown again everywhere. Now you have similar texts. Not saying the Book of Thoth is any less legitimate, but it's saying, all right, I went somewhere else, wrote the same thing in a different language. You know what I'm saying? And he did this all over the place, which is why we can almost theorize and assume Thoth was an actual being. You know what I'm saying? Right.
They are in the text. It is he's spoken about as not something that would exist outside of this world. Like, he wasn't spoken about as a deity or like some traveler for some far place. Like he wrote about himself, like he was just a regular nigga walking around, just a little smarter than everybody.
And and it's crazy because he called himself Thoth the Atlantean, right? So in the same text that's found in ancient India, it said that it was guarded under before it was given to it was given to like a philosopher or a physicist over there. I forgot. I gotta go. It's like a second century physicist or something, philosopher, somebody. But they said it was guarded underground, underwater in the seas, guarded by Nagas.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I was reading during my research, reading how the Nagas, like, once it was too many of them, so they made them go underwater.
Right? Okay, but think now, what other story does that sound like?
Sound like some mermaids.
But is that no different than Thoth the Atlantean story, telling you how he came from Atlantis, right? How would that story be any different? How would this tale of the serpents, right? Would you just, what Roger started the episode with, the serpent that came out the water from Avatar? Mm-hmm. Well, come on now. It's all just kind of telling you, I ain't saying they weren't or wasn't. I'm just saying clearly the allegory that states that these higher people of consciousness possibly even came from the sea. Thoth telling you he came from underwater. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so basically this is all synonymous with just, of course, like I said, the Atlanteans, until basically he pretty much was saying all this text will not come to the light until humans are ready to use and revive this knowledge, right? Same thing that said in the Book of Thoth about the Halls of Lamenti, that all this stuff gonna come to light when it's actually time for people to be used. That's why he said, I don't know when I'm coming back, homie. I don't know when I'm gonna come back. When I'm coming back, probably when y'all are ready.
There's no when you're all ready, I will be here.
Right? And so the wisdom that's taken from that text specifically is that without the non-physical, no things can exist. Just because you can't see it on your plane of existence doesn't mean it's there. Yo, this is crazy, bro. I was reading a comic book today, right? And the character Photon, right? So Monica Rambeau, if you watch the WandaVision show, the black lady, she has the power to see in UV light and all the ways of the light spectrum. So she in outer space doing God knows what. And she like, man, I can't see what I came here for. And she like, oh, let me switch to UV. Boom. Whole nother world is she looking at in space right there.
Hey, you know what's insane? Because I wanted to talk about this, but snakes have that ability too. Pit vipers, they have these special sensory organs on their nose that allows them to be able to see in thermal pretty much.
Yeah, infrared and ultraviolet lighting.
In fact, this is the same stuff that you talked about when it comes to photon. So, hold on, that kind of blew my mind, bro.
Okay, so look, so that makes the representation of the use of the snake more prevalent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of using the snake is for that reason specifically. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we know that outside of our paradigm allows us to perceive perceive this increasingly proven phenomenon of the intangible reality. Right? And it's crazy because they tell us this. They say that we can only perceive 4% of our known universe on the human level. So imagine only being everything we see and we're amazed by. That's only 4% of what we even are possible of seeing and that we even know is out there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So out of everything we know is out there, what we see is merely 4%. And that's just what we know, right? Which tells you, again, light is infinite. Knowledge is infinite. This stuff is base level. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Only 4% is crazy.
And I kind of got another thing I wanted to mention too, kind of about like when I was talking about like the thing with
the Lynch gene.
Yeah, so I found something crazy that kind of goes with that time travel theory we was talking about. So, okay, you know how like on the northern hemisphere and the south hemisphere, right? They kind of move in opposite directions. Like one is moving right almost, the one is moving left. I'm trying to make it make sense. Like, okay, if a tornado pops up in the northern hemisphere, it's rotating clockwise. Like, you know, you see it on the map, it's moving like clockwise. If you see one forming like in the southern hemisphere, it's moving counterclockwise, right? Does that make sense? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you know, on the map, if it's like about to hit the equator, it's kind of rotating counterclockwise. You know what I'm saying?
I know what I'm talking about.
Hurricane is turning on, right? Okay. Your sails actually operate the same way. right? Your sales move in the same direction. They do the same type of pattern. So check this out. It turns out that sometimes you bring in those thoughts from the past, right? It's, again, your sales going to be attuned with you go as above, so below. You bring in those thoughts from the past that you're thinking about, you know, it's in that time travel that's causing you to feel some way, all that stuff can actually cause your sales to start moving backwards too. And so, okay, so guess what? And that whole process is called retrograde, believe it or not, right? The astrology shit is your sales going back in time, essentially. So what happens if some sales started turning counterclockwise? They gonna do what sales do. Divide, mitosis, so boom, out of nowhere, you have an army of sales that's going opposite, that are in disarray, going crazy in your body. What that sound
like? Ain't that cancer?
It is a cancer, right? Ain't that shit insane?
Did you just scientifically and metaphysically break down how negative thought patterns are?
Negative thought patterns
creating cancerous cells?
Your negative thought patterns are not in disarray because your sales are trying to go, not necessarily go forward, but they're trying to be present. They balance out. That's why some are going the opposite way. Some are just going counterclockwise. Some are going clockwise. You have a balance. Okay.
I say it's like a natural flow.
Right. That's the natural flow, just like the hemispheres. So I'm bringing in negative thoughts that I can't solve. And I'm creating these feelings. Boom. My sales are going to operate on it. They're going to start acting like that. Okay. Boom. Out of nowhere, I have sales that are no longer functioning in the way or in the flow that I'm going. If I'm going forward, they're going backwards. Dang, we can't. These backward sales going to do what sales do and divide and start getting bigger and bigger. Boom, I got cancer cells, right? The liver cell over here partying with the pancreas. What going on, bro? Right? Now look at that. Your mindset can get wound up in the past and bring that to your present, right? And as we said, since we have the ability to change time in the present in that physical gluon space, you don't fucked up your future with the past. So the knowledge about being a Naga is about taking control of the unseen and curating what you want. Mm-hmm. Operating on the field outside of your mundane perception, right?
Operating with the mindset that you are connected to the divine source and that you are as much powerful as it is, and knowing what comes with that power and the responsibility that you have to not let your mind create the reality for you.
Yeah, facts. And I don't know, I actually found, like I said, I enjoy like amping my research up for this. Like I said, it led me to the loopholes that I found, those little tidbits I kind of added this episode. I thought that was all real dope and crazy. And when you realize certain things are just out of your control, well, like I say, out of your control, but actually in your control, everything flows how you want it to. It goes how you want to. You can use it for the most simplest or the most biggest of things, stuff, minuscule concepts like wealth, health, things that, you know what I'm saying, people worry about on the day-to-day, you can create at the whim, you know what I'm saying? That Reiki, all that stuff.
A real Naga. I got this.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It's in you. You know what I'm saying? It's in you versus something that you have to try to. I'm not going to say you don't have to. You do have to achieve it, but it's within you. It's not as hard as everybody makes it seem for themselves.
You ain't even got to achieve it, bro. You just got to find it.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Find yourself. Come find you. You know what I'm saying? All right. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. All those proverbs and stuff like that. Man, this was a good one though.
Solid. Wait, nah, I low-key feel like we made it a part two.
Nah, for real? I mean, we'll let the views decide, you know what I'm saying?
The views will tell all.
Nah, bro, cause look, y'all know I love animals. And snakes been one of my favorite animals for a long time. So it's like, the more we talk, it's like, dang, you could link this to that, or you can link that to this. So it's like, I feel like it's a whole another layer that we can get into. But, you know, we're going to see what the viewers say. Today.
But on that note, y'all, we're going to close out this episode. Appreciate all the support, especially if you're still listening by this point. So you all know the deal with the outro.
Yes, sir. From the realest Nagas alive. From many kings.
And from kings to gods.
This has been Fresh Fire Entertainment. Peace, family.
And reality.